time to reflect on through these songs, through the reading of Scripture, and as we've prayed before, that you would help us to realize the magnitude of the cross. These two wooden sticks put together. But they were so much more than that. These are the symbol of hope, the symbol of salvation for the whole world. All who put their trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, it's because of what was done on the cross that we have an eternity with you instead of an eternity in hell. And I pray that you would just help us to feel that this morning and appreciate that so that we leave here giving you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know there are some kids here this morning, so it's good to have everyone here. And Lisa Myers came up with a great idea for her own kids. But just to keep you kids engaged, there are three words I want you to pay attention to for this message, okay? Parents, this might help you a little bit. So, the word cross, the word direction, and the word victory. The words cross, direction, and victory. You kids got that? Those three words? All right. Well, speaking of kids, the weather is right for them, isn't it? Spring is here, and summer is not too far off. I know there's going to be a lot of people outside playing this afternoon, including yours truly. School's going to be out soon, and the sports are going to begin. The soccer fields all around us, I know, are going to be filled with kids playing sports. And I know that firsthand because I'm one of those guys who gets roped into coaching. There's never a right amount of coaches, so it always turns out that that's what I'm doing. Now, I shouldn't say roped in because in truth, it's actually pretty fun sometimes. Sometimes. And there's almost nothing as fun as when your team actually wins. And I say almost nothing because really there are a couple of things that are more fun. One of those things that maybe I should say funny, and it's when your team doesn't win. And the reason that's funny is because it's the way it happens sometimes. Now I know that admittedly I'm not the best coach for the job, and maybe some parents even think I'm not a very good coach. But there aren't many things that I find more fun than coaching than some of the goofy mistakes that the kids do out there on that soccer pitch. And one of the most common runs that I have to make when I'm out there coaching is to run out to the middle of the field and physically turn a kid around. Because some kid, almost every game, they'll be out there on a breakaway play toward the goal. And they're running and running. And for some reason, the other team's not giving him any opposition. And he's thinking, wow, I'm the greatest player ever out here. I'm clearly going to score this. There's nobody who can even keep up to me. But what he doesn't realize, of course, is what you've already realized, is that he's running toward his own goal. And he's about to make the shot. But of course, it's a shot that's going to help his team lose. And everybody can see it, except for that one kid. He sees it as amazing progress that he's making. Everyone else knows it's a disaster. And unless coach runs out there and actually grabs that kid and turns him around, his feeling of victory, I've seen it before, it's going to turn to a pretty rotten feeling pretty quickly. But that's kids, right? That's kids. Well, you know what? Actually, this isn't a mistake that is made by kids alone. It's laughable when it happens out on the soccer pitch, and we see it happen out there. But when we don't realize that we're heading in the wrong direction, not on a soccer pitch, but in life, the results aren't as hysterical. And the fact is that we as humanity, we've been heading in the wrong direction for a long, long time. In the wrong direction. But we're all too busy following our instincts, and the instincts of the world around us to realize that we need some serious redirection in life. Because we continually run toward what we think are the promises, what we think are the hopes in life. But we find out time after time that we're none the closer. And if we don't get some serious redirection, we're going to find out, as many already have, that the final disaster, when our lives are over, it's a lot more serious than it is in a soccer match. Now, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice to think that the worst of life's mistakes are no more serious than one of those humorous wrong goals? That we could stay in that world of childlike triviality where our mistakes, ultimately, they don't really matter a whole lot. But there comes a time in our lives when we have to realize that we are living for a reason. That God has given you life for a reason. You're here for a reason. And God tells us that. And He gives us direction. He gives us direction on how to get to a final outcome that is a good final outcome. But have we taken that direction? Have you taken that direction? Or have we seriously fallen under misdirection? So much so that the final outcome for our world and for our lives is going to be a lot less than happy and victorious. Instead, the final outcome will be eternal, an eternal destination, where we don't get to come back for second chances like we see in the movies sometimes. It's not even in some kind of purgatory where all of our sins are burned away until we're ready for heaven. It's certainly not laughing about getting a goal or a few mistakes wrong in life. The Bible tells us what the final outcome is going to be like. Listen to how the Bible puts it in Matthew 13. The angels will go out. When that day comes, when your day comes, the angels will go out, separate the evil people from the righteous people, and throw them into a blazing furnace, hell. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Elsewhere in the book of Isaiah, it says this: they will see dead bodies, the dead bodies of men who have rebelled against me, God. For their worm will never die, their fire will never go out, and they will be a horror to all mankind. That's not the final outcome that any of us wants to imagine. But the fact is, it is the final outcome for millions of people each year. Thousands. This very day, that will be the final outcome. And it's the same outcome that each of us in here would face. And I'm afraid to say it is the outcome that some of us in here will face without recognizing what today, Good Friday, is all about. And guys, Good Friday is all about the cross. It's all about the cross of Jesus. Because it's at the cross that our direction and our outcome can be changed. It's at the cross that misdirection changes to right direction through God's redirection. The cross of Jesus. The cross of Jesus changes the final outcome. So put your hope in Him. That's a hope that we need. It's a hope that we have wanted for a very long time, thousands of years. And now, maybe more than ever, perhaps, as we see a world that is continually in conflict. Just a couple of weeks ago, we saw the horrors over in Syria, didn't we, of a horrific chemical gas attack that choked out the lives of many innocents, women, children. Suicide bombings. You know, they're so frequent now that we don't even look at the news. They barely even make the news. Here in Canada, we may not be aware of this, but 1/3 of all children are killed before they're out of the womb. At stoplights, we're reminded of this as we see the homeless begging for money. Even though the promise of peace and security has been offered for as long as we can remember, but these promises, they come and they go. And still, nothing changes, does it? Philosophies come along, which try and lay out for us some of the best systems of government where everybody can be happy and we can all be well provided for. Countless religions, thousands of religions are out there, all offering some kind of answer, trying to give some kind of hope just so that you'll buy in. New technologies that are supposed to make our lives more convenient, more comfortable. But for every theory, for every innovation, for every technology that comes along, we find that each is quickly hijacked by evil motives of people, right? Maybe even if it's not hijacked, it doesn't promise what it's supposed to deliver. And our lives get worse. They become more complicated, and evil abounds. And we've found out that no matter what people come up with, maybe there really is no hope of peace and security that the world can offer us. This whole notion of postmodernism, it gets painted as, what is it? It's a system of absolute truths. That's not really what it is. It's a system of just realizing that there's no hope. Nobody in the world is banking on hope anymore. They know it's not truly attainable, so we just try and get by. So as a culture, we haven't found the answers out there. We stopped looking at hope from the world outside, and we began to look at what was left. And what's left is me as an individual. Maybe I can find hope inside instead. If the world can't offer hope for all of us, maybe I can find some hope inside here. And the self-help books keep coming, promising to unlock those answers that are inside of us. Religions and psychology speak of unleashing the power within, right? They make promises that, I've heard this my whole life, look, you're basically good deep down. Even if the world around you is bad and messed up, there's something inside you that seeks truth, something that seeks good. Tap into that. But all the while, what we fail to see is that the reason the world is such a mess isn't because the world out there is messed up and other people are messed up. We are those people. We are the world. The world is a mess because it's made up of people just like you and just like me. And we need to understand that we need to understand our misdirection. It's not theirs, it's ours. We're the ones running down the soccer pitch the wrong way. It's you and me. And we need to understand the misery that we see, the misery that we feel. That's in our misdirection. We need to understand that. If we want to find hope, hope here in the cross of Jesus, this is the first step in finding that hope. The first step that lands us at the cross. Understand your misery is in your misdirection. And it's a misdirection that as humanity, we all share. Because it all began at the same time, at the same place in history. And the Bible tells us about that in the beginning. You know, there once was a goodness. There once was a dignity in us. That was way back when God first created us. When He created us, we had beauty because we were made in His likeness. We had peace because we lived in harmony, in His harmony, with each other, with nature and creation. We had security because there was no threat of death. There was no suffering. But the Bible tells us that the first instance of temptation entered into the world, and right then, we had a choice to make. We could choose to obey God's direction and continue in relationship with God, enjoying the world, enjoying each other, and heeding God's single warning that if we choose another direction, we will die. Or We could choose to follow the untested misdirection of finding things another way and eat of the one food that God told us not to eat from. You ever think about that? What it was like back then? There was one tree, and God said, here, you can have anything you want to eat in the whole world. Just don't eat from this one. And what's the one we go to? It's the tree. Listen to how the Bible says it. The serpent comes along, that little tempter. He says, no, you will not die, the serpent said to the woman. In fact, God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food and delightful to look at, and that it was desirable for obtaining wisdom. So she took some of the tree's fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. God told them not to, but we went in the wrong direction. And you know what? We've been moving in that same direction or misdirection ever since. And we continue in that same misdirection, and we will continue in that same misdirection unless we are reoriented, unless we are redirected. But in order to be redirected or even see a need for redirection, you and I need to understand our misery in terms of misdirection. Secondly, the cross gives us a new direction. It gives us redirection. And this morning, if you haven't already, you need to let the cross give you redirection. Now, anyone who has ever known anything about Christianity knows that the cross is central. The Bible storyline, in fact, I would argue, the storyline for all of humanity leads up to the cross. It finds its climax right here at that cruciform structure, at the cross. Indeed, the cross is so central that it's even made its mark upon our language. Whenever we say the crucial point is, or the crux of the matter is this, what we are saying is, just as the cross is central to Christianity, so this point is crucial to my argument. It's central. Crux is the Latin word for cross. Crucial comes from the cross. And the crux of all of history is found at the cross. The cross provides the axis upon which all of human history gets turned around. Turned from heading one direction to heading in the other direction. After we chose our own direction, not following God's, that is, after we sinned, God had to point out our sin to us. So, he gave us a law, didn't he? You know the law, the Ten Commandments, the thou shalt nots, right? God gave us these commands. He to show us that if we're presented with his directions, that we won't follow them. These laws God gave function as a sort of mirror. They reflect back to us something about ourselves, our nature. The problem is that when we look into that law, when we look into that mirror, what we see looking back at us is our sinfulness because we don't follow God's law. Now you might look at some of the law, those Ten Commandments, and say, well, I don't do that. I don't lie about my neighbor. I haven't killed anybody. But what we fail to see is the imperfect person that the rest of that law shows us to be. The Bible tells us that these rules God gave us, they were never meant to be kept. They were meant to show us how unwilling we are to keep them. Galatians 3:24 tells us this. It says, the law, then, was the schoolmaster. That was a teacher of sorts. Until Christ. What does that mean? It means that it's our teacher that points out to us that we can't find the answers in here. We have to look to somebody else to find the answers. So stop looking in here for your hope. You're not going to find it. No, in fact, the Bible says that the law, these rules were given so our sins would increase, not decrease. so that we can see that we are heading in the wrong direction, and whenever God presents his direction, we will always head in the other direction. But our misdirection is so radical that if you ask the average person on the street, why should God let you into heaven? Most people will tell you, well, I've lived a good life. I've followed the rules. I haven't upset God too much. That's why, because I've earned it. And all the while, we continue in our misdirection. We continue to look inside of here at what this performance is all about instead of God's direction for us. And all the while, we continue to add to our list of sins and the wrongs against God instead of feeling the awful weight that each sin, actually with each new day, puts on us. And we're blind to the hopelessness, and we think we're going to be fine. Guys, we are that little kid. We are that hapless and clueless kid running down the soccer pitch toward the goal. But it's a goal that is going to consume our souls for all of eternity with no mercy. And all the while, God's law is on the sidelines. The Bible is on the sidelines screaming at us to stop. But we interpret it as cheers. And we keep running according to our own wisdom. This is where Good Friday comes in. This is where the cross comes in. This is where love comes in. Like the coach that runs out onto the pitch and turns his player around, redirects the path, Jesus provides the cross as the axis to turn us around, to redirect our paths, to deliver us from a future in hell and point us toward a future with God, just as it was in the beginning when we were first created. You see, it was at the cross that Jesus Christ was punished for our guilt. The guilt that we incurred as the cost of running in the other direction, opposing God's way of doing things. It was at the cross that Jesus Christ suffered for our penalties. Just like our legal system today, when you break the law, a penalty must be paid. Sin is a moral outrage to God, for sure. And that's something that we take too lightly. We even laugh about it in our culture. Oh, it's so good. It's sinful. Ha, ha, ha. But it's more than that. Sin requires a payment. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid for the penalty of breaking God's law. He bore the vengeance of God's anger when he died on the cross. And so for anyone who finds themselves broken under the realization that, yes, I am sinful, under the weight of their sin, under their own inability to live a perfect life, for anyone who confesses their own sin and brokenness to God and begs for Jesus, Jesus, take my sins away. Jesus does it. And he does it right there at the cross. But you know what? Love doesn't stop there. Because the taking away of our sin, well, you know what? That just takes away our sin. We need redirection, don't we? We need to be placed in a proper orientation to God. Otherwise, God still sees us heading in the same direction toward the wrong goal, the wrong end. So God, in love, while Jesus takes our sin on himself, he gives us his direction. And his direction is one of perfection. It's one of righteousness. It's one of obedience. The cross actually turns our story the other way around. Instead of misdirection leading us to hell, the cross takes Jesus' direction and orients us toward God's goodness, God's righteousness. It spins our story 180 degrees on our axis. Also, that now our lives can be completely turned around as we head toward the proper goal, and that is victory. From this point of redirection onward, where the cross is the central axis of human history and an axis that turns our lives 180 degrees, we are now headed toward final victory and the goal of eternal life with God in a new heavens and new earth. That's what lay ahead for anyone who looks to the cross. That's the rest of the story, though. We're going to save that for Sunday. Suffice it all to say that anyone who puts their hope in Jesus' work on the cross to be saved is going to see a much different outcome than the hopelessness that we should face. And the outcome of the cross is victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. All that is required is trust in what Jesus has done on that cross, and let the cross give you redirection. Finally, we have to take this fact and let it bring us joy, because it's cause for joy. We have to find our joy in God's direction. Find your joy in God's direction. How sweet is the feeling of victory? Some of you in here have felt it before. As I said a few Sundays ago, if you're ever playing on a sports team with me, you're probably not going to win. When it comes to sports, I haven't felt that feeling of victory too much. But I know what it's like. I got married to Regina. That was feeling of victory. I was there when the Blue Jays won back-to-back World Series. I remember that feeling of victory. How sweet is the feeling of victory? It is true that the greatest feeling of coaching, even better than winning, even better than watching some of those funny things, is when one of those little kids actually does score a goal in the right net. The feeling of exhilaration for that little kid as he comes running back toward me, as he goes over to his parents, the pride in that kid's parents, it's tangible. You can feel it. An expectation of hope fills the air. It's a hope that, you know what? Maybe things are going to turn out okay for this little kid in life. For the parents, maybe we're doing something right for little Johnny or little Sally. And you have that glimpse of success for the future because you see the hope that it inspires not only in him, but his parents and the rest of the team as well. And yes, even the coach who doesn't know what he's doing. You know, before the cross, we sought hope from the world around us. It's all we had to seek hope from. And maybe you're still seeking hope. You still seek answers from the world around. Maybe you're that person that the Bible describes as always learning, but never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Being led into false truths by things that offer false hopes. Has that been you? Has that been you? Are you here this morning and that describes your situation? You don't need to look to the world outside for hope. And you shouldn't look inside either, because the answers aren't found in your heart. The Bible tells us about our hearts. The heart, it says, is more deceitful than anything else. It's incurable. Who can understand it? I know with some of my own decisions, I can't understand my own heart sometimes. All I know is that I've been led into error time and time and time again by following my own instincts, my own passions. When all my life people have been giving me the advice, follow your heart and you can't go wrong. That's terrible advice. Well, maybe the key to hope is knowledge. We come out of the Enlightenment period just recently. We're not really in it any longer, but that was always the saying, right? Knowledge is power. But again, the Bible tells us something about knowledge. It says that every thought of our minds is always evil all the time. And you might hear that and say, well, now I know the Bible's wrong. Because how can that be? I don't think evil all the time. Well, you know, maybe not pure evil all the time. That's not what it's saying. But every thought, and you have to admit this, is tainted by your own greed. It's tainted by your own self-seeking and misdirection. And yes, all of the time. You know, it's like a spoon. If you have a spoon and somebody gives it to you, you pull it out of the drawer to eat from, and it's got some food left on it. Maybe it's coming out of the dishwasher. You know how it gets hardened on there sometimes? You don't look at that spoon and say, well, it's generally clean. I'll just eat from this part, and I'll move my tongue around the little dirty portion. No, the whole spoon's dirty, right? You put it back in the sink or the dishwasher. Well, it's like that with the food taints the whole thing. It's like that with our minds, too. Sin pervades every area of your thoughts. Don't look for it in here or in here. But now, after the cross of Christ, if Jesus takes hold of your life, if he redirects you in such a way that your story is reversed, your course is changed. You have a hope. You do have a hope from outside, but it's not from the world with its tainted answers that fail time after time. Your hope is from God himself, who from outside of time, of space, and all other things, he entered into this world in the form of the God-man Jesus Christ. He entered in as a human to defeat temptation as a human, to take our sins as a human, to suffer God's wrath as a human, so that he could take the place of you and me, a human. But he also came from outside to be perfect as a human, so that he could place his righteousness achieved as a human on any person who calls on him to be saved. God in Jesus is our hope from outside. But he doesn't end there. Because everyone who looks to Jesus also receives a hope inside too. Because God doesn't leave us alone to hopefully find our way to the goal. He sends his Spirit into our lives to guide us. Jesus says in John 16, verse 3, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. It's not, you'll find your own way now that I've been here. No, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. He doesn't leave us on our own, doesn't leave you on your own. He takes us the rest of the way, like the best coach ever. He takes us all the way to the goal. And the goal that he has in store for us, if we believe, like he said to that other criminal, is paradise. Just listen to the contrast. Look at the contrast between the outcome that we've made for ourselves versus the outcome that we can have through the cross, Matthew 25. To those who never trust in Jesus, and I hope it's not the case, but you might leave here this morning, and that'll be you, saying, I don't trust in that. I'm here because it's Good Friday, because my wife wanted me to be, my husband wanted me to be. You might leave here as this person, continuing on the path of their own misdirection. God is going to say this, depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But to those who come to the cross, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a glorious future, and what a hope. But you know what? You don't even have to wait till then. We can experience his hope, his peace, his security now. He says to us in Philippians 4, verse 7, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, peace that passes all kind of comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You know, I don't know how many times I've faced terrible situations and predicaments in my life, terrible people in my life, how many times that I've gone visiting the sick or dying, and the hope that's been present through it all, even joy that's been shown in times of terrible suffering, all because of the hope of paradise that Jesus has in store for those who believe through the cross of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this morning, do you have that joy? Do you know that joy? If not, find your joy by following God's direction. You know, you might be here this morning and you have already come to the cross, but you still find yourself misdirected. You don't know. You've forgotten what this joy is about. Your own weaknesses have robbed you time and time again of the joy that, you remember? You once knew it in the cross. You remember? This Good Friday, you need to remember that that joy is still to be had. It's coming. As Sunday is going to show us and remind us in just a few days, but don't be robbed of your joy in Christ. Because if you have trusted in Jesus, the trials that you're going through don't necessarily mean that you are heading in the wrong direction. Now, you may not be handling the ball well. The other team, sin and temptations team, they might be throwing you some huge challenges. Or maybe God's just making the game harder so that when you get to the goal, the victory will be that much more enjoyed. But God has you headed in the right direction. Because when he turns your life around at the cross, it never goes back. You need to trust in that today. Come to the cross again and trust in that today. But if you are here today, you don't normally come out to church. As we said, maybe you're here to make your wife happy or your husband happy, or maybe you're dating somebody who goes to this church and you're thinking, well, I better go if they're going to have any shot with them. That's actually how I got saved, by the way. Maybe that's why you're here. You know what? God has you here for a reason. You might think it's your own doing, but he has got you here for a reason. He's brought you here. And he's brought you here to sit right here in front of that cross, to look at it, and to realize that your hope is only found here. You've been running in the wrong direction your whole life, and the coach is now moving you. He's telling you, whispering to you, it's time to turn your life around. Turn from your sins and get redirected to my direction, God's direction. Yeah, your life can turn 180 degrees, but you have to come to Jesus. Come to the cross this morning and give it all to him. Whether you're struggling as a Christian to find hope, or maybe you need that hope for the first time, don't leave here this morning without talking to somebody about it. Everybody look back there. See that little room right back there? The doors are closed right now. If you need to talk to somebody about it this morning, at the end of this service, there are going to be people back there waiting for you. And God has set up an appointment for you with them. Don't leave here. Go back there. If you're a Christian who's struggling and you need to find that hope again, go back there and talk to somebody. This is more than a kid's soccer game that we're talking about. When your game is over, what is your final outcome going to be? I'm going to tell you, the cross of Jesus is the game changer. The cross of Jesus changes your final outcome. So put your hope in him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to pray that the words that have been spoken to us this morning would hit us, and maybe for some of us, take us all the way home. Take us to victory, that final goal, for the first time. Lord, we look at humanity, and there's no question. We don't live in an age where everything seems to be progressing anymore. We don't live in an age with Plato and Aristotle, where all the thoughts seem to be going in the right direction. We live in an age where our hopelessness and our misdirection is very clear. And if there's anyone in here this morning that thinks otherwise, I want to pray that they would just go home and turn on the news. They would look at their own life and see their own imperfections. Lord, I know that's what it took for me, but you did it. And then you did something more. You took me to the cross. And Lord, I want to pray that if there's anyone in here this morning that needs to be taken to the cross of Jesus, that you would come alongside, that you would run into that soccer pitch of their life and turn them around, that they might head toward the cross and start moving in the right direction, your direction, from here on in. Lord, don't let them leave here until they've talked to somebody about that, made that decision. And for the rest of us, Lord, if we put our trust in Jesus, let us remember the hope that we first had when we came to the cross of Jesus and just keep moving in that direction, knowing that you are sovereign, you're in control, and you will lead us home to victory. Give us thankful hearts, hearts that want to tell others about this good news, not just something to be kept to ourselves, today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives, all to the praise and honor of Jesus' name. Amen.
Why don't you please stand?